Good morning. It's March 11th, 2015. It's 9:04 in the a.m. Yeah, 9:04 in the morning. I'm running a little bit late because I got up late. I got up late because kid was up. We were seeing a rehearsal last night till almost 11. So by the time we got home and I got her settled, I got my pills in me. It was like midnight by the time I went to bed. So, needless to say, she did not go to school today. So, I slept till nearly 7, not quite 7. At 8 o'clock, I got my shoes on. I thought, well, I'll be a nice guy. Go over and pick up the daughter from work so she didn't have to walk home. I sat there for 20 minutes before she didn't come out. Before I realized that maybe she didn't go to work, because I didn't look. I didn't check her room, see if she was there. So I asked my wife if she would go look, and sure enough, she wasn't there. She was still in bed, sick. So she called in sick today, she didn't go to work. So everybody's home today. So I went over to King Soopers, got some groceries, got a chicken. I'll roast the chicken. Got some Bakers. So I'll have baked potatoes and roast chicken for dinner. Low trauma for me in terms of fixing a meal. Tonight is the dress rehearsal for the play. So we'll be up late again tonight. I may try to take a nap this afternoon. Now this is sort of what my life has been like for the last couple of weeks. It's one of the reasons I haven't been walking is that it's just been too crazed. It's just been too frantic. It's just been too distracting. The ADHD. The other reason I've been walking is that I wanted to take the time away from the word processor. And I posted a Saturday scene from what I thought was going to be the opening of Cape Grace. Man, I got about, I don't know, I didn't get very far in. I got about 2,500 words into it, 3,000 words into it, and realized this is still too early. Now, this is a problem I had with South Coast, is that it was supposed to be Sarah Krug's story, but it was Otto's story, because I used that to set the stage for what the shaman is, what he does, at least from the perspective of a young boy who wants to, a young man who wants to be a fisherman and not a shaman, and realizes that there really isn't any choice. He is a shaman, and his choices involve how does he exercise it. So the story that's starts at Maggie's Landing. I might write that one day. I might go back there because that's how Otto meets Sarah's mother and what they go through and how they wind up at Cape Grace. It was a good exercise, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere, so I guess what I'm trying to say. It's a scene. I had another scene afterwards that showed Carla arriving. It wasn't terribly satisfactory. And when I got to the end, I realized why, because it's too soon. It's still going to be 20 years more before Sarah has to decide whether or not she's going to leave her father and St. Cloud and the abusive husband and launch herself into outer space, literally into the unknown. Following her Welky-inspired vision of how to escape. So I've been working with a new outline, and I know in the past I've worked with outliners and they've been, well, let's just say they've been less than helpful, and in a lot of cases they were actually harmful to process for me. I couldn't, as I've often said, once I know the ending, I can't be bothered to write the story. And the problem with Cape Grace, I think, from the beginning, is that I've always known the ending. You've always known the ending. You know how Cape Grace is going to end, or at least how Sarah's piece of Cape Grace is going to end. Otto's piece will have a little bit of denouement afterward. So, in working with this outline for, I'm doing actually a beta read for a book on an outlining called Take Off Your Pants that's aimed at pantsers like me who have this problem where once they know what the story is, they don't want to write it. And it's an attempt to create an outline that is somewhat directive, somewhat to give a skeleton to the story, to give a framework to the story that is patterned not after some arbitrary outline, Roman numeral 1, etc., but after a story skeleton that's roughly based on Hero's Journey, Hero with a Thousand Faces, Joseph Campbell's threads. And the thing is that it's the beauty of this is that like the Joseph Campbell story archetype, you can pick and choose. You don't have to do exactly this piece or exactly that piece. In fact, this outline really, really overlooks a lot of the sort of accoutrement of Campbell, the helper, the mystical helper, the guide. And it's got a certain overlay of the three-act structure layered onto it. So things like the inciting incident, which is the doorway, which is sometimes referred to as the doorway between the first and second act. But it pays close attention to things like the main character's flaw and the main character's external goal. That is, the goal that he thinks he's working toward, but which he can't achieve until he overcomes the flaw. So the flaw becomes really the raison d'etre for the plot, because otherwise he goes to the store and buys what he needs. And end of story. There's also the notion of theme. It doesn't have to be a fancy theme. It doesn't have to be love conquers all. It doesn't have to be, a lot of ways, mimics my process. Well, I've always had a theme about all the books. I've always, when I sat down to write every Ishmael book, when I sat down to write Tanith, and in a certain sense, when I sat down to write South Coast way back in the beginning, there was a theme. It went beyond a simple examination of plot in the sense of, in Ishmael Wong, I've always said the plot was the basic man versus environment plot, man versus nature, or in this case, man built environment. The economy, the business, the how to make a living in a cold, dark world where you can't even be sure you'll have air to breathe. And the examination of what a culture looks like against the backdrop of interstellar commerce. And there are probably better ways to do it. There are probably other ways to do it, and I probably will examine some of them. In fact, I will assuredly examine some of them in the next six books, in the next six Solar Clipper books. I'm really anxious to get into it. But back to the outline. Flaw, ally, antagonist, theme. Monk post. So one of the theme, the flaw that I have for Otto, that I've always had for Otto and never really sat down to try to put it in a simple statement, a simple examination of what his flaw is. And his flaw is that he wants, his external goal is to keep Sarah on the planet where she can develop as a shaman, where she can be protected, and where he won't lose her. And it's the he won't lose her part that's the flaw, because what she represents to him is his dead wife, and she's the last piece of her that he has, and he's desperate to maintain that connection, and he'll do anything to maintain that connection with Carla through his relationship with Sarah. And so the story really revolves around this idea, the theme that, unlike Love Conquers All, that sometimes love isn't enough. That that was years and years ago, there was a saying going around as a result of some guy who had I got my microphone messed up, sorry, wait a minute. There was some guy who had broken up with his girlfriend and waited a couple of weeks, and then later went back, tracked her down, stalked her into another state, and stabbed her 32 times. I said it was, if you love something, let it go. The sweet version was, if it's really love, it will come back to you. And the somewhat darker version was, if it doesn't come back to you, hunt it down and stab it 32 times. So, this idea that love conquers all, this is one that I think is a bit problematic. And so the theme here is that sometimes love isn't enough. That sometimes there are forces that make these changes. Now, the truth, the reality, the truth here is that there's an alternate ending. There is an alternate ending. And Otto can't see it. And he never does see it. The alternate ending is they both leave. The alternate ending is that he and Sarah both... they both leave the planet. Because Sarah has to leave. The company is going to deport her if she's not a dependent or not an employee. And some of the book is going to involve her trying to get jobs within the company, but her gift, her shaman's gift, is makes her too distracted, too distractible, too, and her youth, too prone to not doing what needs to be done, and so she can't get and keep a job on planet, which would be the logical choice. The next logical choice would be to find work for she and Otto to go to, for example, the orbital and find work there. And Otto can always come back to the planet to collect Welkies, to collect wood, to do his listening to the world, to be shaman. And Sarah could be just like, like a quick shuttle ride up. But shuttle tickets are expensive, and Otto doesn't make a lot of money. He's basically, once Carla dies, Carla is really what allows them to have a relatively middle class lifestyle, much in the same way that Rebecca has, and Rebecca supports Richard as shaman, although we never really see that as part of the story in South Coast, but the truth of it there is that they really depend on the fishermen for a lot of their food. They really, once Rebecca gets to work fishing, they have more disposable income, so she's able to invest in new accesses for her actually to do her job better. And so there's these clues to it that the shaman doesn't actually make a lot of cash. In fact, the shaman makes almost no cash, which was the reference in the beginning of this Saturday scene that I posted, where Otto wasn't sure how he was going to be able to buy more tea and fuel for his stove. Part of it being that it's spring, and he hasn't he's had to burn a lot of his fuel to keep his cottage warm. He's had to, he's not been able to get out or do as much fishing. He's had to buy more stuff over the winter. And it's something he can recover over the summer by not having to spend as much on fuel. He really needs to find a source of driftwood, because driftwood was really the main fuel that Richard used to heat his little workshop. He had a wood-burning stove. And they burned the loose ends of driftwood. They didn't carve. So, yeah, there's a whole sort of subtext here of how does a shaman make a living, and we'll get to that shortly, because people are already starting to ask Otto how he's going to manage. Now, he does have an insurance settlement, because Carla was killed on the job. He has a nest egg that will finance him for many seasons, but it is finite, and he has to figure out how he's going to deal with that as well. So yeah, there's this whole universe of Sarah, and this outline where I look at Otto and his antagonists, and the antagonists, oddly, in this outline form, the antagonists are those people who help him work toward his external goal. But because the external goal and his internal goal are diametrically opposed, they, by helping him with his goal, obstruct him from actually achieving what he needs to have. And I've seen this idea thrown out a couple of times. What does the main character need? Versus what does the main character want? It was not set up well with any of the Ishmael books, which in a lot of ways is why I think they ring unsatisfactory to many people. And it's really too bad, because I think I could have done it had I paid a little more attention. And perhaps there will be better stories going forward with more pronounced actual character arcs, more pronounced growth that's not measured by, okay, I need to make my next pay grade, I need to make a profit. And in a lot of ways, his narrow-minded pursuit of making a profit has put Ishmael where he is. So maybe it's not as bad as I think. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.